Okay, let's run the video and welcome Pastor Richard.
I said good morning. Hey, there we go. Thank you, Armando. Happy New Year. Turn to your neighbor now, show a bit of love because you're in church. Turn to them in your own first language and say, Happy New Year. Total confusion in church. Wow, it's good to see you. Kia ora. My name is Richard, and I'm one of the team here, and we're glad you came out. I thought we'd have maybe only half a dozen people here on our first Sunday of the year, but it's good to see you. Well, 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 you're looking good. Everyone happy? Happy New Year, right? And happy new decade. Who likes this time of year? Not just because the road is clear, and the weather's great, but also there's a, I don't know if you're like me, but there's a new sense of possibilities. There's a new sense of openness, really, to what God's going to do, what this year's going to hold. I wondered this morning if you're glad that 2019 has passed. I can know a few stories in the room, and I reckon there's a bunch of us that would say, I'm glad that year has gone. Would that be your proclamation? Goodbye 2019, 2020, bring it on. Is that your attitude today? Hello? Hello? Am I alone in the room? Have you had too much Christmas pud, love? You're alive, aren't you? Give your neighbor a nudge. Give them a slap. Do something. Make sure they're alive in church. All right, so I can't overestimate how much I'm loving the new series that we're about to go into today. I can't overestimate how important it is. It's got me so excited. It really has. I'm buzzing and popping. I can't bring the word next week. I'm going to be in Sydney. You're going to be blessed with Izagani, but I wish I was here to be a part of this next 3 weeks, all 3 weeks with you. I do believe this is a game changer. What you're going to learn in the next 3 weeks, if we not only hear the word, but do the word, you know that's real important, right? You know that the house that fell and the house that remained strong on the rock was the person who did the word that they heard? You do know that, right? Yeah, you do know that actually we're to apply the word of God to our life. We don't want to produce a bunch of theologians that don't actually practice and worship what they learn. We want both to learn and understand and grow, but be involved in mission and have our lives transformed. Can someone say amen? Amen. So that's what this is all about. Habits. Interesting. Now, throughout the year, we've done our planning for next year. It's subject to the Holy Spirit, but we plan different kinds of sermons. Some are more doctrinal, some are more devotional, some are more practical. I always like to kick off the year with a practical wisdom, life skills kind of based sermon series. And that's why it's called Habits. Good habits, bad habits. What do you think might be some good habits? Just like shout it out from the pew. Say it again, Adrian. Okay, man, there is conviction in the room. That's right. Turning up to appointments on time, you know, 10 minutes early. If you're 5 minutes early, you're late kind of thing. Old school, but actually it's good life skills stuff. Being on time generally, isn't that good? Isn't that right? Going to the movies, hitting the whatever. Okay, another good habit on the side. What about, like, brushing teeth? Is that a good habit, guys? Morning and night. Is that right? Good habit? Okay, any more good habits out there? What about flushing the toilet? I brought the toilet into the auditorium. We know it's the reason for most marital problems. Good habit to flush the toilet. What are bad habits? Give us a bad habit.
Biting your nails.
Wow, biting your nails. That's not those nails, these nails, fingernails. Okay. What about interrupting people, not letting them finish their sentence? Isn't that right, husbands? What's another bad one? Just on this side, a bad habit. You let me down. Disappointment all through the place. Why do habits matter? Why do habits matter? Now, I should have said, this sermon series is great for the people that don't feel very spiritual. That's what these practical series are about. If you feel, man, I don't feel very spiritual, and how does it really apply to my life? A kind of nice idea, but this series is actually for all of us, and it's particularly for people like that. Why do habits matter? Are you ready for it? I want you to catch this, because successful people do consistently what other people do occasionally. Now, the premise on this whole series is that you want to be successful. I want you to be successful. God for sure wants you to be successful, and I believe you want to be successful. We can talk all day about defining success, but let's just leave it as an idea that you want to be better than you are today. Can someone say amen to that? In 1 year's time, do you want to be a better person, a better husband, a better father, a better child of God, a better employee? Do you want to be a better missionary? Hello? It's a bad habit not to respond, right? We're teaching good habits. Good habits. I like that, Pastor Alfred. Successful people do consistently what other people do occasionally. We know this is true when it comes to finances. Very few of us had a whole pile of money dropped on our lap. In fact, they say people that win the lotto and get millions of dollars, years later you can't find it because they don't have good habits to handle money. I've been tithing for all of our married life, 31 coming up, 32 years. In fact, before that, never stopped. It's a habit that I have. It's a conviction, actually, that we have that's based on Scripture. We know this physically. The person who only occasionally goes for a run will never really see the benefits. If they go to the gym twice a year, they're not really going to see any benefits. It's the person who gets up and does regularly what the potato couch guy, the guy living on the couch, binge-watching Netflix, or the person who gets up early and hits the streets and pounds the pavement or goes to the gym a little bit regularly will always achieve more. Parents, please teach back to money. Teach your kids to tithe. My mother taught me to tithe. When I delivered the Heralds, I got $2.17 a week, I think it was. 10% board, 10% tithe, spend 10%, save the rest. I thank God that habits were put into my formative years. They serve me well today. What about spiritually? We know this is true. Relationally, successful people do consistently what other people do occasionally. That is the difference. Not education, not gifting, not money, not color of your skin, not what side of the track you're born on. It's what you do consistently that matters. Can someone say amen to that? Yeah, preaching good, Pastor. That's right. Well, let's look at the Scriptures. What about Paul? What about Jesus? I think you could say, like, they were successful. Jesus never said, I can't find time to pray. Jesus never said, I'm so busy, I wish I had more time with God. Now, what you see with Jesus is he habitually came away from the crowd to spend time with his Father. Paul didn't make excuses for the life that he lived. You found him habitually, repeatedly, consistently going to the temple to share and witness for Jesus Christ, to share his faith. Sean Covey, son of Stephen Covey, the right guy, the famous guy who wrote the book Seven Habits of Highly Effective People. His son said this, "Our habits will make or break us. We become what we repeatedly do. Our habits will make or break us. We become what we repeatedly do." Now, question. Who here does New Year's resolutions? Hand in the air like you just don't care. Does anybody do New Year's resolutions? Does anybody love the idea of New Year's resolutions? You know it's a trick question, right? Seriously? So no one here, because I personally don't. We really don't do that. Fantastic, because you know what the studies prove? Scientific studies have shown that by Valentine's Day, which I think is 14th of February, is that right? I don't really celebrate it because every day is Valentine's Day. Tonight's going to be good times. Studies show that by Valentine's Day, 92% of our New Year's resolutions have been abandoned and broken. And you know it, don't you? You know it because you think about last year's resolutions. You could barely make it to Valentine's Day, man. Oh, I'm going to get in shape. I'm going to get out of debt. I'm going to make this count. And it's a distant dream by Friday. They don't last. We feel like the Apostle Paul in Romans chapter 7 in the New Living Translation. He says this, "I don't really understand myself. For I want to stop eating junk food. I want to stop procrastinating. I want to stop overspending." He didn't quite say that, but he said, "For I want to do what is right, but I don't do it. Instead, I do what I hate." Dropping to verse 18. "And I know that nothing good lives in me, that is, in my sinful nature. I want to do what is right, but I can't. I want to do what is good, but I don't. I don't want to do what is wrong, but I do it anyway." Does anybody feel a bit like Paul and me? Huh? Oh, good, I'm with a bunch of humans. That's great. Verse 24. "Oh, what a miserable person I am." I want you to see this, and this is what we often do. He's just talked about things he does or doesn't do. Different behaviors and choices and habits, right? Now he's taking it from that to his identity. He's saying, "What a miserable person I am." And that's what many of us do, and that's actually what the enemy wants to do. And we're going to come back to that. The enemy connects our failure with our identity, and I want to deal with that and destroy it this morning. Paul goes on and he says, "Who will free me from this life that is dominated by sin and death?" And then Paul looks to the only source that could change him. He says, "Thank God." Everyone say, "Thank God." Thank God it's Sunday. Oh, thank God. The answer is in Jesus Christ our Lord. Jesus Christ is our source. Jesus Christ is our hope. Jesus Christ is our healing. Jesus Christ is our strength. He makes all things new. It doesn't matter where you've been. It doesn't matter what you did over Christmas or the new year. He can make all things new, friend. Nothing is impossible to God. We always start out the year with great intentions, don't we? I'm going to sign up to the gym. I'm going to try to do less on TV. I'm going to have less screen time in my life. I want to lose weight. I want to get rid of this debt. We're full of intentions, but why do we fail again and again and again? And let's just keep going so we feel good about ourselves again and again. Why do we fail again and again and again? I want to give you three reasons why we do not succeed. Why we do not succeed. Number one, we focus on the what, but we don't understand the how. We know what we want to accomplish, But we don't really know how to get there. It's only intention. Now, here's something that's interesting. Most of us in this room, in fact, most human beings, have exactly the same goals. If I was to survey 100 of us here, or 100 human beings, wherever they are, and I said, what are your goals? What are the things you would like to achieve? What are the things you want to grow in and improve? And I bet you health would be one of them. I mean, nobody says, oh, it's 2020. I want to increase my cholesterol. What about debt? Oh, yeah, man, student loans, credit card. I mean, nobody says, oh, I'm going to wait till it's 20% interest rate. Then I'm going to buy something. No. Most people want better health. They want to get out of debt. What about relationships? What about spiritual? I'm sure most of us in the room would say, I want to be closer to God. I want to feel Him more in my life. I want to make a difference with my life. I just don't want to avoid sin and have a nice little marriage and kiddies and white picket fence and a nice Toyota Corolla and a few plants. And oh no, you actually want to make a difference in your life for God. Advancing His kingdom, I'm sure most of us would say that, right? But the results are very different. Some people achieve them, and many people don't achieve them. Same goals, some achieve, and some don't achieve. There's a book called Atomic Habits, just referencing a book for you by James Clear, and he says this, generally winners and losers, oh no, the millennials, that's right, sorry millennials, there actually are losers. We're not all winners. We're all loved and we all have value, but some people achieve their goals and some don't. Some forever and ever serve debt and some don't. Some forever and ever can build relationships and some don't. They sabotage relationships, even Christians. James Clear says, generally, winners and losers have the same goals. Generally, successful and unsuccessful people have the same goals. I mean, we all want to do well. Like if you want to be involved in sports, nobody says, let's get involved in a team, a netball or rugby or table tennis or badminton. Let's get in there. Let's try to lose. Well, you know what? Yeah, man, I'll come. I'm going to get married. I'm going to meet that guy. I'm going to meet that girl. And we're going to go for 7 straight years and then we're going to get divorced. No one thinks like that, right? We all want something similar. But we end up with different results. And I want to ask a simple question, one word, why? The author of that book, Atomic Habits, James Clear, says this, goals don't determine success. Systems determine success. Goals alone don't get you along to the end desire. Systems do. Organizational plans, accountability. Behind the intent and the beautiful New Year's resolution is actually a system. Because here's what James Clear says. I love it. He says, you don't rise to the level of your goals. You fall to the level of your systems. The Every Nation word for this is discipleship, by the way. But it's more than that. It's personal, individual leadership. Let me repeat it. You don't rise to the level of your goals. Oh, I want to do that this year. And all. But if we don't have a system behind that to support that, a commitment behind that, a predetermined making up of the mind behind that, some accountability behind that, we will always, just because we're human and because we get tired and because we our souls and our minds will drift and wander. I'm just like you, friend. I tell you what will happen. We always fall to the level of our systems, and we get to another year, 2021, and we go, wow, that was great, but I'm still the same size, I'm still unfit, I'm still in debt, I'm still where I'm at in my life. Now, this all doesn't sound very spiritual, does it? But actually, if you put on your habit lenses, if you put on your success lens, this is all through the scripture. Think about Daniel. Wow. Daniel's there. He gets put in the lion's den. We teach it to the kids out there. We love it. We build our faith. But I want to tell you something. The key to Daniel keeping calm, trusting God, is because he had a system alive and well in his life. And do you know what that system was? He prayed 3 times a day. The Muslims pray 5. Hopefully Christians might even pray once. Oh. Daniel had a system. He prayed 3 times a day. I believe that's what built up his faith. That's what built up his faithfulness when the trial came at him. That's what it was, ladies and gentlemen, a system. If you want to be great, and if you want God to use you, I want to tell you today, you will not rise to the level of your goals. You will fall to the level of your systems. And here is a mistake that we tend to make. We think, I want to change the results. I want to lose 10 kgs. I want to get more organized. I want to remove the credit card debt. But here is the challenge. Don't try to change the result, but change the systems that cause the result. Is anybody tracking me this morning? Or have you already discovered that wonderful Christian disease called sleeping with your eyes open, especially on Sunday morning? Is anybody tracking me now? You see, if you don't have the systems, you'll never achieve it. It's just a vapor. It's just a wishful thinking. But if we can actually have a system, in fact, we focus on the system, the goal will take care of itself. This church doesn't focus on church growth. We focus on church health because church health does naturally grow. My grandson's 3. I don't have to tell him, please, Tobias, please grow. No, we just feed him the right food, put him in the right, and he'll naturally grow. Plants, nature tells us this. Focus on health. Focus on systematic approach to life, and results will take care of itself. We want the result, but we don't want the discipline. Systems, how clinical, how dry, how cold, how calculated. I want to come to spiritual. Even Jesus had a system of prayer. Jesus had a system of fasting. Daniel, Paul, Elijah, Esther, and many people in this room. They're not rock stars spiritually. They weren't born filthy rich. They weren't born, they were developed and they grew into becoming people of good habits and eliminating bad habits. They had a systematic approach to life, but much of our living is responding to the urgent and responding to the now. And the culture reinforces that. But when you look at anybody, friend, anybody, I watched a Billy Graham documentary the other night, Smith Wigglesworth, Evan Roberts, the Welsh Revival, anybody, D.L. Moody, anybody that's done anything decent for God, they've got a systematized life, spirit-filled system life. George Whitfield, get up 4 a.m. every morning for a cold bath in England because he wanted to mortify the flesh. Wow, I don't want that kind of system. Give me hot water, baby. Here's the challenge. Don't try to change the result, but change the systems that cause those results. If we fix what we do, the outcome will fix itself. And there's more to come about that in the following weeks. Number two reason why we don't succeed, number two is we don't see progress fast enough. Isn't that true? Can we just be honest this morning? I think I can put my hand up on behalf of us all. We are impatient. I want it now. I want to lose 10 kgs by 2 p.m. today. I want it now. Hurry up, microwave. I haven't got time. Pastor, I walked 3 times this week and I put on 2 kgs. I read the Bible every day for the last week and I still yelled at my kids. It didn't work. It doesn't really work. You see, we don't see results fast enough. So here we go, ladies and gentlemen. We wrongly conclude, because we don't see results to our habits, our good habits, because we don't see it, we wrongly conclude that small decisions don't matter much. Well, I read the Bible and I still yelled. I still did the same old thing. So why read the Bible? I went for a run, a walk, hit the gym 3 times. I put on 2 kgs. Well, what's the point? Evidence, Pastor, I'll let you know. And of course, the flip side of that is we make not good decisions or bad decisions, but we often don't have a big impact there and then immediately. I know, guys, you played Fortnite 3 nights this week. Your wife wasn't very happy. She didn't leave you, so maybe it's okay. I skipped church 1 week, 2 weeks, and my world didn't fall apart, so maybe everything's okay. We ate half a box of chocolates, and I didn't put any weight on. So because we think that small good habits don't make any difference and small bad habits don't really make any difference, we wrongly conclude we can do whatever we want. But while we're coming to that wrong conclusion, we miss this truth that is impacting your life in massive ways. Every day, this truth, this force is impacting your life and my life every day, and that is this truth. Our life is the sum total of all the decisions we make. Stop making excuses about your financial situation. There's stories in this room of people that have massive debt and they've come out because they stuck to a plan. There's people in this room that have health problems and they've improved their health because they stuck to a plan. There's people in here who dared to believe their Bible and read and pray every day and overcome doubt and discouragement and break through depression, just like you. Well, you haven't broken through yet because you're not doing what they did. You weren't desperate enough to do little bits all the time. No one's a rock star, friend. They're just people who have good habits, eradicate the bad habits, and then they're lazy people. Our life is the sum total of all the decisions that we make. Who we are today is a result of all the small decisions that you've made along the way. They all matter. They all add up over time. Those in the room who are involved in counseling will probably know, almost certainly know, that really do decisions wreck your life all at once. You know, before something's very public and very destructive and something takes a hold, maybe it's a marriage or a ministry or whatever, you know there's been 6 months, a year of bad decisions that have led up to that. Nobody puts weight on except maybe for other reasons, but generally speaking, because of decisions that have led up to that, generally speaking. Really do decisions wreck your life? It's one little compromise at a time and a little cutting of the corner at a time and a little fudging of the results at a time and a little lie at a time and plus a little bending of the rules and a little stepping over the line. It just all accumulates and then one day you wake up and ask yourself, how the heck did I mess my life up so much? It wasn't all at once. It was little by little by little by little by little, and you wonder why. And then there's someone else from exactly the same situation in that area in your life. They are smashing it. They're living the life. There's other people that's living the life that you want. You think, wow, how did they get there? Well, can I tell you, they did not get there all at once. It was one small decision after another, a moment of self-sacrifice, a moment of getting up early, a moment of staying up late, a moment of putting a little extra shift in here, a small discipline again and again and again, just believing God for a little portion of Scripture every day, 15 minutes with God every day, learning to tithe with the little that I have. Your friend, are you catching this idea? Nobody knows about your prayer life, friend, when you're up and you're seeking God. No one knows. The other people, they feel entitled and they think, oh, well, look at them. They were born on the right side of the tracks. Oh, look at their heritage. Oh, look at them. Oh, look at them. It just was delivered to them. Oh, an overnight success. No one is an overnight success. What you don't realize is that person who may have come from even worse situation, worse damage in their life, that person's been pressing into God and praying. That person's been fasting and seeking after the Lord, getting up a little early, staying a little late, working a little longer, working a little harder, showing up early, showing a bit of faithfulness, showing a bit of perseverance. That person, you see, they don't see all that you see, friend. One faithful step after another step over a period of time got you there. And I want you to catch this. I want you to catch the power of compounding habit. And I've got the simple illustration, and I hope it communicates what I'm trying to communicate. I want to give you a choice. Next slide, please. I want to give you a choice. And all those people who want to ask a million questions before they make the choice, we can't do that today. We haven't got time. It's like a gun against your head. You've got 10 seconds to decide. Am I going to accept $3 million right here, right now, or would I rather have $1 that doubles every day for 31 days? $3 million, New Zealand dollars, right now. Would you receive it right now, or take $1 that becomes two and two becomes four, and the next day four becomes eight? $1, 31 days. Who would choose the $3 million right now? You all know it's a trick question, don't you? Having a bit of a stretch? Man, I wouldn't mind that $3 million right now. Or $1 today that doubles every day for 31 days. Who would accept the $1 today that doubles every day for 31 days? Thank you. And the rest of you haven't got a clue what I'm talking about? Or you're lacking in courage to make a stand? Can I tell you, I've done the math, I've done the spreadsheet, I heard about it, but I needed proof because I didn't believe it. I even got the brainiac John Mendoza to have a look at it, make sure the calculations were correct. $1 that doubles, next day becomes two, day three becomes four, day four becomes eight. 31 days equals over $1 billion. That is the power of building and compounding. $1, starting with $1, building and delayed gratification, it's exponential growth that's impacting within you. See, your good decisions, friend, they're not wasted. Parents, when you feel like you're just going through the grind again, come on, say please and thank you with disciplining children. You want, is this even making any difference? Friend, it is making a difference. When you stick to the budget and you decide, no, I'm not going to get three TVs on the credit card, I want to tell you something, it makes a difference. It makes more difference than you actually know. It's all being stored up, all the good decisions, all the good choices are all being stored up. And I want, again, to illustrate this. I think of, you know, when I want to make an egg or boil an egg and on the stove, I get a pot, I put some room temperature water in it, and I put it on the stove and I start the fire. We've got gas. We go, click, 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 kaboosh. You like that? Click, 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 kaboosh. Let's do it all together. Click, 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 click. Good on you. You can, the fire's going. You can put your finger in there, and there's really no difference at the beginning. But slowly but surely over time, the temperature, the room temperature is beginning to change. You don't actually see anything. But the temperature is growing, and you can put, and it can get very hot. Like it gets up to 99 degrees Celsius. It's very hot. You see nothing. And then there's a trigger point, and it starts boiling at 100 degrees Celsius. You see, the key is to be habitual. I didn't say perfect. I said habitual. You might mess up, you might skip a day, you might eat too much, you might lose your cool, you might have an impulse purchase, but if you can generally be consistent, I want to tell you something, the temperature is rising, the faith is building, and there comes a tipping point, and you realize, oh, I'm in shape, oh, the debt has gone, oh, my marriage is happy. See, people look at you, and they might call you an overnight success, but you know, they have no idea what it's cost you. They don't see the fact that you've overcome doubt. You've overcome discouragement. They don't see the fact that you've failed and had to start all over again. They don't see the sacrifice and the praying and the enduring criticism. Oh, friend, try homeschooling. You get a bunch of criticism. I tell you, it's exciting. Start tithing and getting criticized by the bank manager. You'll get the criticism. You'll get, but it's the small, consistent decisions, one at a time, that will get you to where you want to be. I'm trying to talk to you this morning, or trying to get you to understand why you don't succeed in your New Year's resolutions, or you don't succeed in your goals because you focus on the goal and you don't have a system, or I don't have a system. I like how the Apostle Paul puts it in Galatians 9 and 11 in the NIV. He says, let us not become weary in doing good. Let us not get weary in doing the right thing. Let us not be weary in honoring God in all things. Let us not grow weary in sticking to the budget. Let us not grow weary in counting calories. Let us not grow weary in going to the gym. Let us not grow weary in getting to work a little earlier. Yes, I've got to get up earlier to beat the Auckland traffic to get there and get the job done and win the promotion and get the increase and use the increase to get the debt down and avoid the interest. And then I could get myself in a position where I could buy a home. Do you see how this all connects? Life is a system. You can use it or you can abuse it. Most people abuse it. The global debt, I heard on Friday morning with Bruce McDonald, the global debt, something like $10 trillion. Everyone owes everybody everything because nobody wants to wait and do the hard yards. And there's a whole layer of society that feels so entitled to get the position, get the job, get the car, get everything, that they haven't got the character and the stamina to habitually, one small decision at a time, one day at a time, grow in their spiritual life, in their relationship life, in their home life, in their physical life, in their mental life. It's all about habits. The third reason why many of us don't make it is our distorted identity sabotages our success. Let me unpack that for you. Our distorted identity sabotages our success. And I think this is huge. And this is really where I want to land. That is why Satan attacks our identity. Satan attacks our identity so he can destroy your destiny, friend. I believe every person in this room has divine purpose. I believe it. With every fiber of my being, every human being is not an accident. They are designed by God. They've got gifts and talents, the color of their eyes. The Bible tells me, it screams at me that you are, then every human has divine purpose. It has holy calling upon their life. And the devil knows it. So what he wants to do is every little failure, he tries to attach it to our identity. Rather than I failed, he says, you're a failure. Rather than doing a bad thing, which we've all done, he says, you're a bad person. He tries to connect our failures to our identity. I want to tell you that most effective people in the Bible had identity issues. Moses was not a good speaker. He said, I'm not a good speaker. Just vocalizing that, verbalizing that, validating that was sabotaging his potential. Gideon said, I feel nervous, I feel weak, I'm the least of them all. Even Paul, the great apostle Paul, he said, I'm unqualified. Don't you know what I've done? I've murdered Christians. I don't feel good enough. Even the great apostle Paul did not feel worthy enough. Maybe this is how it plays out in your life. Satan whispers to you, it's just the way I am. I have like an addiction personality. I mean, you know, and he says, just go and have another drink. Oh, I'm not good with money. I've never been good at money. So I might as well just go shopping. Or he might whisper to you and you think it's you, saying, I'm not a very disciplined person. I'm not an organized person. So you live a life of randomness. And these lies attack your identity. They disempower you, therefore sabotage, break down, and destroy your success. I want you to catch this. An unhealthy identity creates unwise habits. Then unwise habits reinforce unhealthy identity. It's a cycle. And we get trapped in the cycle. Ladies and gentlemen, it's 2020. I'm believing for different things this year. Can someone say amen? I want you to have a bigger and bolder plans for this year. It's going to be a great year. I'm prophesying it's going to be a great year. Not because bad things won't happen, but because we're going to get closer to God. We're going to walk through whatever life brings at us. I want us to have a different approach to this year. That's right. Reboot, scratch, erase, let's start again. You see, here's the problem. Most people have what they create what we call do goals. I want to read more. I want to sleep less. I want less social media. But I want to encourage you today to start having who goals. I want to start, the point of this message is to start with your identity. Who do you want to become this year? Well, Pastor, I want to become a true man of God, a true woman of God. Good for you. That's a noble goal. I want to be free from addiction in my life. I want to become a bold witness for Jesus. I finally want to get over myself, get over the fear of man, and actually share my faith. For goodness sake, I've been working beside this person for 5 years, and they don't even know I'm a Christian. I want to become bold for Jesus. I want to become a godly husband and godly wife. I want to become that father that gets up in the morning and opens the scripture, or maybe it's nighttime, whatever it is, and your children can see you do it. Where you're giving your heart to God, you're pouring it out to Jesus, you insist on praying before every meal, you control what goes on the television, you control and you put boundaries and you establish standards in your home. I want to be that kind of father, that kind of husband, that kind of wife. The person I want to become is, I want to become financially free, Father. I want to begin to give generously. I want to begin to tithe. Well, maybe for you, it's I want to become a person who's healthy. You need to realize something. Your body is a gift from God. I want to eat disciplined. Who do you want to become in 2020? When you know your who, it's easier to know what to do. Oh man, I got to get some rhyme going with that. I got to get a beat going. When you know your who, you know what to do. People come to me with all kinds of questions from sort of elementary counseling, kind of I'm your GP guy. And I say, what's the call of God in your life? What do you want to do with your life? Well, I want to be there. Then you're making a decision that's taking you there. Do you think that's going to get you closer to where you want? Oh, I'm trying to attach decisions to where they want to be, where God wants them to be, the goal in their life. If you want to be financially free, why are you buying a second car? I'm just throwing it out there. You want to kill that loan, then why are you signing up to a Spotify account, a Netflix account, that account, that account, that account, $100 a month, I'm praying for entertainment. What about shutting it down and reading a jolly good book? You know that pile beside your bed that you're still meaning to read 10 years later? I just sort of throw that in for free. Nothing like a bit of sarcasm in a sermon. Who do you want to become? The do flows out of the who. Who do you want to be this year, friend? Ladies, who do you want to be? Young people, who do you want to be? And don't use age as an excuse. History's been shaped by teenagers. Jesus, God Himself, came onto this earth because two teenagers said yes to God. Joseph and Mary were teenagers. Who do you want to become? I want you to reach for greatness. I know that God wants you to become and reach for greatness as well. You might say, well, this is just who I am. I can't change. I'm trapped by cycles. I'm trapped. And yes, I don't want to diminish the power of cycle. But I want to tell you, when the Holy Ghost is inside of you, you have the power to overcome and break bad habits, even habits from the past that have been put on you. Romans 6:6-7 says this in the NLT. We know that our old sinful selves were crucified with Christ so that sin might lose its power. Everyone say power. Lose its power in our lives. We are no longer slaves to sin. For when we died with Christ, we were set free from the power of sin. Verse 18. Now you are free from this, your slavery to sin, and you have become slaves to righteous living. When you become a Christian, you get the power. Not all the issues have gone away, and I don't want to diminish true pain and torment and cyclical issues, but I want to tell you, friend, God can take the mess and make it a message. God can take it, and if you apply good habits to that and break through by the Spirit of God, you can see yourself free. What the enemy meant for evil, God can turn for good. Can someone say hallelujah? Hallelujah. I believe with all my heart, my friend. When you know your who, it's easier to know your do. If you're a Christian today, you're forgiven. You're redeemed. If you're a Christian today, you're more than an overcomer. I'm preaching faith to somebody this morning. If you're a Christian today, you have the righteousness of Christ upon you. He's forgiven you. Let it go. Move forward and seek, go to new things. Praise God. You can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. Can someone say amen to that? Am I preaching to anybody this morning? Is anybody hearing me today? You can do all things through Christ. Stop making excuses. The people who bust through are the people who are hungry for destiny and attached to the destiny, a system, a habit. They say, I'm going to live differently every day. And it means because it's just habit, because it's not gift and it's not education, it's not wealth, it's habitual living. It means mere men like me can actually achieve something. Just don't give up. And if you want to have that life, you want to become that person, that means you've got to say goodnight to the friends at some time. Sometimes you've got to get negative influences out of your life. You've got to actually have some, you're putting a structure. Absolutely, I'm putting a structure. Look at your life. 24 hours a day, not 25, not 23, 24 hours a day. Time, nature, the earth, distance, planets, systems, structure, life. Is anybody getting the idea? That's right, you can't live random if you want to be great. You can't go with impulse and hormones and the next thing you see on the internet if you want to make a difference in your life. And I want to get a nice and early here at the beginning of the year and say, let's make 2020 different. Let's get rid of the bad habits. Let's put in good habits. But I want you, first of all, to focus on who you want to become. Who you want to become. Can I invite the band to come on up and join me, please? As we try to slow the train down. Who do you want to become? You know, I've been following Jesus for 26 years. Who, by the way, who's under 26 in the room? Wow, you weren't even born. And I met Jesus 26 years ago, March 1993. I tell you what. I met Jesus. My life has never been the same. I've been leading this church for 6 years. Coming up 6 years in February. Now I reckon I've got 15 to 17 good strong years left in me. I'm not suggesting I'm going to be the senior pastor forever. I hope I can still be on the team. I hope I can still be on the front row worshiping Jesus. Somebody else might actually be leading the charge. But I'm planning on being a part of this church for the rest of my life. And I think for the next 15 to 17 years, I think it's a good, you know, good years in me. When I get to 70, maybe things should be different. I'm always mindful of Caleb who at 85 said, give me this mountain. So I don't want to limit God. But I reckon, just being realistic, 15 to 17 years. And I'll be 70. Who do I want to become? Who do I want people to say I am? Or what would people say about Richard Urban? To boil it down even more, what would I want on my tombstone? This is personal. 19 years ago, almost exactly on the 10th of January, 2001, I wrote a personal statement. It's in my office. It's been on my wall right in front of me. The man, the person I want to become. My key relationships with God first, my wife, my kids. And that has shaped me. It's helped me make decisions. I've put words and I've articulated a personal statement. Now, I'm not saying you have to do this. The point I'm trying to make is I wrote who I want to become. And when I read that and the opportunity came to go into full-time ministry, yes, it would mean less income financially, but I knew it was God. When God said, I want you to do this with your kids, whether it's homeschool or whatever, and please, just because we homeschooled, not everyone should homeschool. It's just what we decided to do. We believed it was the right thing at that time to do. And so many choices we've made comes back to this orientation of this lighthouse, this clarity about who I want to become. We haven't got time to read it out to you, and I don't want to draw the attention to Richard Urban, but I just wanted to demonstrate as a living illustration the kinds of things. I've boiled it down to this. I want people to know that I was a devoted follower of Jesus. Not nominal, not compromising, not casual, not a pew warmer. Not devoted to a particular church necessarily, although I know my family, I know my tribe, but primarily beyond that, Jesus Christ, knowing Him. I want people to say that he was devoted to Jesus. I want them to say he was a faithful husband, a great dad, and an even better papa. Papa was not in there. I couldn't see beyond. My kid's getting married. I want people to say that he was an effective leader, filled with his potential, and he enjoyed the ride. Who do you want to become? Let's not be focusing on the do's. Right now, right today, in fact, this week, I want to give you a task. I want you to take 1 hour. 1 hour. 1 hour is little more than 0.5% of this week. 7 days of 24 hours, taking one of those, less than 1%, 0.6. Take 1 hour and take a device or write it down or whatever you want to do and write down who you want to become. Write down what you would like others to say about you. Let's focus on the who before the do. When you know your who, it's easier to make decisions. When you know where God's leading you, then it actually brings great clarity and empowerment to avoid crazy decisions, crazy choices, to begin good habits as it leads you forward step by step, day by day. Do you know why this is really important? Because truly God-honoring people do consistently what other people do occasionally. Can I just invite us to stand to our feet as I just pray? Just close our eyes before the Lord. Lord, I just pray that you'd have your way in this church and in our hearts. I pray for this church, for all the Every Nation churches in New Zealand, but Lord, for the individual people, I pray that you'd stir us up. Lord, you'd stir us up with big God-honoring goals. But Lord, I'm asking for more than that. I want you, Holy Spirit, to bring into the life of every single person in the sound of my voice a clear picture of who you want them to be. Who you want them to be. Can you just open your eyes and look at me now? I want to ask you a real honest question. Do you want 2020 to really count? Do you really want 2020 to count? If you really want 2020 to count, I want you to lift your hand or hands to the Lord. If you want to seek God, if you want to become the person God wants you to be, Father, I pray, Lord, for every life that's represented by the hand or hands raised. Lord, I pray for fresh vision this year. Lord, I pray for a clarity of mind and a conviction that, Father, even now by the Spirit, you would begin to download divine purpose, that you begin to download holy calling upon every single life, that, Lord, we could cut through the daily things and cut through our habits and our addictions and cut through the things, the strongholds. But, Lord, we'll get aside with you and that, Lord, you would download into each of our very hearts, Lord, a sense of direction of who you wanted us to become, what you want to do in our life. And I pray against the enemy. I pray against the lies of the devil. He says, oh, you can't because you've done this and because of this and because of that. I shut down the enemy's lies in the name of Jesus, and I declare victory in the atmosphere. I declare victory over the hearts and minds of these precious people. Lord, we thank you that nothing is impossible to thee. We trust you, oh God. We surrender to you. And Lord, I pray that we'd have the courage, Lord, to implement systems. We'd have the courage to put discipline into our lives, boundaries into our lives, to use what you've given us. Time itself is the most precious gift. You just got to ask a person who's dying of cancer. Time. Lord, let us use time wisely. And let us enjoy the ride. Let us become different people. In the powerful name of Jesus, I pray. Just while our eyes are closed and heads are bowed, I wonder whether you feel lost and distant from God. I want to tell you that you can only discover your purpose for being on the planet when you're in relationship with Jesus Christ. He's the one that'll heal you. He's the one that will restore. He's the one that will deliver you, friend. It's Jesus. He saves people. He came to save people. He's saving people today, and He can save you right now. You're not too far from God. His grace can reach you. His love is available to you. If you turn to Him and ask Him to forgive you and cleanse your heart, He will make you a new person and give you a fresh start. On the count of three, as we close this morning, if that's you today, you want to give your heart to God, you want to turn back to God, on the count of three, please put your hand up. We're not going to delay this. We're just going to give you an opportunity. On the count of three. 1, 2, 3. If that's you, please put your hand up nice and high. Anybody? I see that hand right back in the back corner. Praise God. Praise God. Thank you, Lord. Those two hands that went up, I want to invite you, please, to come and see me after the church, after the service finishes. It would be my great honor and privilege to talk with you, to share with you. Lord, we thank you for today. We thank you, Father God. Come on, Willie, why don't you pray a little something? Thank you, Lord.
There's nothing worth more.
Let's commit the year to the Lord. Come on.
Come
close. Thank you, Jesus.
Nothing can compare.
Nothing worth more.
just a deep, refreshing sense of your purpose personally. I pray, oh God, that you'd absolutely have your way, Holy Spirit. Fill our hearts afresh. Lord, may we make room for you and remove things that are taking us away from you, that we would enjoy a satisfying, fulfilling, lasting, fruitful relationship with you. Lord, let 2020 be different, more impacting, more enjoyable, more of you and less of us. I pray this now in your precious name. Amen. God bless you. Have a great day. Thank you, Jesus.